mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 11. Finally, back on a sane schedule, Huojin thought cheerfully, striding up Amaya's clinic steps. Not that he was really happy to be bringing her news, but getting back to his regular shift was a relief for the whole family. Rock gloves darkened by early morning shadows. A Dai Li agent was knocking on Amaya's door. Don't panic. A practiced thought, just enough to keep his reaction to the flinch of an honest man, given the excitement of these past few days. Stay calm, Huojin reminded himself, nodding to the earthbender with polite wariness. A tall, lean-faced man. The uniform made it hard to say for certain, but Huojin thought he was more wiry than heavy-boned. If they knew anything, there wouldn't be just one. Unless the rest of them are just burrowed out of sight. He loved his city. He truly did. But every now and then, when the paranoia spawned by what he was seemed to grab him by the throat, I wish there were somewhere better, somewhere to be free. Li opened the door, and vague wishes flew right out of Huojin's head. Oh, Agni, this is not good. Can we help you? Li said levelly. I'm here for a healer, Amaya, the agent said formally, not even blinking at the scar. That makes two of us, Huojin put in, almost as formal. We've had a report of a potential plague on the docks, something from Omashu. We need to track it down and head it off, quick. The agent looked unhappy, but still willing to argue. The patient is at the palace. I'll tell her, Li stated, and closed the door in their faces. I don't know whether to laugh or cry, Huojin thought, frozen. The look on the Dai Li's face was priceless. A minute, and Amaya opened the door. Human or animal? She asked the agent briskly. The agent shifted slightly. Maybe he was sweating? Not likely. We were requested to bring you with all due speed again. Is it that bear again? Under the tasseled hat, the man actually looked a little sheepish. It's important to the Earth King. Li, pack your kit. Me? The young firebender looked more inclined to bolt right back to the docks. Huojin couldn't blame him. He has more experience with animals than humans at the moment, Amaya said frankly, gripping Li's shoulder and turning the reluctant teen back inside. Chest of animal treatment scrolls, third drawer down, red ribbon. She glanced back at the agent as Li retreated. I have no doubt he can handle the situation until I've finished assisting the city. The agent inclined his head, straightened, and started as Li reappeared. What are you doing with a fire pot? Packed kit in one hand, Li touched the strap holding both water skin and fire pot slung over his shoulder. Animals don't always understand that you're trying to help. Warm water doesn't startle them so much, and sometimes you want hot water to clean things out before you try to heal them. Good answer. Huojin tried not to look too relieved. He should have known the kid would have a cover story ready. They'd gotten here, hadn't they? Li was on the road quite some time, Amaya said with honest affection. He's come across a few techniques they didn't teach at the North Pole. She rested a hand on his shoulder and nodded. You'll do fine. Huojin watched them head down the street to a waiting carriage, sighed, and followed Amaya back inside to collect her own kit. Are you sure that's a good idea? He knows what not to say, and he knows his uncle's life depends on his ability to pass as Li, the waterbending healer. Amaya said quietly, He's sword steel, Huojin. He won't break. I thought he was rough jade, Huojin quipped. That too. Stuffing a few last packets of herbs into her bag, Amaya smiled at him. You should have seen him with Jinhai. He may look merciless, but there's a kind heart under all the scars. Her smile faded, chased away by worry. Huojin, Normally, I would keep this quiet for the family, but if something goes wrong, you may need to know. Jinhai needs training. Lee and Mushi's kind of training. She shook her head. I only hope Mei Xiang and Ting Chi agree to let Lee help. For a moment, it felt like all the air had been sucked out of his lungs. The accidents, he managed. The burns. The fires. Apparently, a sequence of events that is not uncommon, Amaya said dryly. Lee advised that they put sand buckets in every room and ban Jinhai from going near the stove until he gets more control. She arched a brow. He was also insistent that Jinhai get as much sunlight as possible. I know waterbenders are stronger when the moon shines, but Lee says firebenders need the sun, that without it they starve. They get desperate. Yeah? Huojin ventured. He carefully avoided saying how desperate. Ah, true. Lee was, apparently, justifiably paranoid. He would have kept that to himself, just on don't-want-to-give-people-an-opening principles. Huojin let out a slow breath, bringing up old memories and things he'd learned from other refugees. Insane covers it, he said bluntly. Too long and they can die. It's like the prison barges you hear about for earthbenders, out at sea. If there's none of your element around... Something in your spirit dies, Amaya finished, and picked up her kit. Shall we? Outside, Huojin led their way through twisting streets, towards the docks. You seem pretty forgiving toward a kid who, well... Would you blame someone for striking you, if he were delirious in fever? Huojin frowned. He wasn't sick. Yes, he was. Amaya said sadly. He still is, though he's healed a great deal, even in these few days. That scar didn't just burn flesh, Huojin. It burnt his spirit. He's been hanging on to humanity by his fingertips, and it seems as if I had taken away the last person he loved in the world. I would be far more worried if he hadn't attacked me. The guard squinted, trying to follow a healer's twisty logic. Because that would mean he stopped fighting? Yes, she chuckled ruefully. Though I'm beginning to think Lee simply refuses to recognize that giving up is an option. Scary kid, Huojin muttered. Yes, he is. The thoughtfulness of that tone prickled the hairs on the back of his neck all over again. Did something happen? It's not what happened that worries me. Amaya said carefully. It's what Lee said about it later. You've traded stories with people who've served on the wall. Not a question, exactly. In quiet corners, sure, Huojin said frankly. Often with a few drinks on hand and a friendly bartender who understood some bloody stories weren't enough to call the Dai Li. A lot of wall veterans end up joining the guard. After years or injuries slow them down. You've treated plenty of them.
Yes, but apparently they never want to burden a healer with the thought that some of their opponents seemed inhuman. Too strong, too fast.
She arched a brow at him.
I've heard some stories,
Huojin admitted after a moment to check no tasseled hats were in sight.
Not the average soldiers. But when Imperial firebenders come out to play, some of them supposedly dodge arrows. Others kick rocks out of the way, even when a bender's still moving them. Crazy stuff like that.
He cut himself off, swords flashing in a tea shop in his memory. Jet was fresh. Lee was exhausted. Yet Lee had kept up anyway, blow for blow, and that blazingly swift slice that should have ended the fight permanently if Jet wasn't half-circus acrobat.
Oh, Agni.
He blew out a breath. What'd you hear about?
An oak cellar door with a granite cover, shattered in one shove,
Amaya said frankly.
And what, exactly, did you say to that?
As I said, it was the reaction that was interesting, Amaya observed. Apparently, it wasn't a big deal.
Really?
Huojin said warily. In part, or so the story went, because someone who was really skilled could simply shove and send a person skidding over 10 yards away.
Someone? Huojin winced.
Mushi. Have you ever heard a rumor like that?
No, Huojin said honestly. No, I haven't. He grimaced. Though, from what I have heard, a lot of people didn't come back 6 years ago. And it makes sense to guess those people, well, maybe they saw a lot more than people just on the wall.
Amaya nodded.
I told you who I think they are. Huojin kept his voice down, covered by the morning crowds. I guess I should have thought it through myself.
Oh, Agni, we've got a pair of great-name Imperial Firebenders on our hands. Now what do we do? Well, Agni reflected, it's good to have a frame of reference to determine exactly what Li means when he says his skills are passable.
Irk!
Huojin tried not to shiver. Passable as a healer's apprentice was one thing. Passable as an Imperial Firebender? A whole other kettle of catfish eels. Ba Sing Se soldiers never take them one-on-one, not even our Earthbenders. They use 3-on-1 odds at least. Even then you're going to lose people.
Huojin muffled a groan.
Oma and Shu, what did I do to deserve this?
Well, at least now he knew why Mushi was convinced Li hadn't tried to kill him. What are we going to do?
Do? Mischief sparkled in blue eyes. I think they've handled things quite well so far, don't you?
Well, yes, but...
They're looking for a place to rest, Amaya said softly, narrowed her eyes at him. They're not walking weapons, Huojin. They're people.
People and walking weapons, Huojin thought unhappily. Not that he thought they meant to start anything. That pair wouldn't have gotten this far if they let their tempers lead the way. Even Li. The kid might bristle like a porcupine pig, but he hadn't so much as raised a hand until someone threatened his uncle. But if anything did get started, those two would finish it. Permanently.
I should have let the Dai Li have Jet.
Bad thought.
Try not to go there.
Done was done, and he'd just have to hope Fire Nation honor was everything his people said it was. Mushi had said they were looking for a fresh start. No. No, he said they had no choice. Someone wants Li dead. Hell, if they've been declared traitors to the Dragon Throne, the whole Fire Nation wants them dead.
Big difference. Huge. So, exactly what sort of plague are we looking for? Amaya asked.
Think about it later, Huojin told himself. Not sure. You ever hear of something called Pentapox?
Glad he was light on his feet, Zuko whipped back around the corner, out of sight of the open doorway.
What the heck is that?
Under the formally calm mask, the Dai Li agent looked mildly surprised.
It's a bear.
That is not a platypus bear!
A hint of humor glimmered in green eyes.
No, it isn't.
Or a skunk bear, or a gopher bear, or even a polar bear.
The agent actually raised an eyebrow at him.
Where did you see a polar bear?
The water tribes bring pelts into port sometimes.
Which was true. No need to mention one of the white monsters had tried to eat him once. The Dai Li gave him a slight smile.
Weirdest thing you ever saw, huh?
Zuko stood there a moment,
bits of the past few months flashing through his mind. The Avatar, eyes and tattoos glowing, rising in a waterspout that swept his men from the decks. The Fire Nation fleet destroyed by a giant watery monster. His uncle, stripped to a loincloth, swinging chains to fight off earthbenders. Spirits, was he never going to get that sight out of his head?
No, Zuko managed.
Not really.
Ignoring the man's curious look, he opened Amaya's scroll again, reading carefully. Take it slow. Get it right the first time. Rolling the scroll back up, he stalked through the door.
You're not Amaya.
Patting the groaning bear, a young, bespectacled man in glasses and ornate Earth Kingdom green looked him over, puzzled.
You may bow now.
I may what? But he could feel the Dailee's eyes boring into him, so Zuko throttled his temper and knelt along with the agent. At least it wasn't a full prostration. He'd be damned if he'd do that ever again.
We are your majesty's humble servants,
the agent said smoothly, as if he hadn't just tried to glare a hole through Zuko's head.
Yes, yes, I know. But where's Amaya? Bosco's feeling so awful.
The bear groaned, like a massively oversized toddler with a tummy ache. Master Amaya had a healing emergency with the guard, your majesty, Zuko said, trying not to stumble over the odd address. There weren't any kings in the Fire Nation. Hadn't ever been, unless you counted some of the Wagyu kings and queens centuries back. And no honorable great name would ever count a pirate as noble blood. I'm her apprentice, Lee.
Someone's hurt?
Narrow eyes widened behind glass, concerned. I hope it's not serious. She's trying to make sure it's not, Zuko managed, trying to buy time to think. This is a city. A huge city. People get hurt all the time, just by accident. And one of the people who do it on purpose is kneeling right next to me. Yet, there wasn't a sliver of the glass-sharp precision Alzula's voice would have had, saying the same words. Not a hint of the sarcastic smirk his sister would have worn, knowing a peasant was at her non-existent mercy, and knowing they knew it too. No, the man honestly seemed worried, in a distracted, optimistic way that reminded him all too much of one particular hyperactive airbender.
Why do I feel like there are two adults in this room? And I'm one of them.
Head down, mouth shut. Things were wrong here, in a way he couldn't pin down. Better to keep his eyes open and see what happened next.
Well, don't just stand there. Come and give Bosco a hand,
the Earth King said cheerfully. Don't worry, he's an excellent judge of character. The bear growled.
I am so dead.
She sent someone else.
Long Feng, Grand Secretariat of Ba Sing Se, and self-made power behind the throne, frowned at the report. At the general information, not the agent, Quan. He had his Dailee's unswerving loyalty for a reason.
I thought we knew all of the waterbenders in Ba Sing Se.
Not that there were many, besides Healer Amaya and the Avatar's young teacher. Most of the rest were minor fishing flotsam, washed up on Ba Sing Se's docks, and they tended to stay there. Amaya might never have had official combat training, thanks to the North Pole's restrictive customs, but her refusal of her family's chosen betrothal had apparently come with an inventive streak, one she tended to use on anyone who threatened to, as they'd put it, drag her back to the north where she belonged.
The boys knew,
Quan informed him, leaning against the wall where he'd bent a rock tunnel to listen in on the Earth King. Lee, no family name known. We're tracking his records now. Half foggy swamp, from one of the reports.
Mixed blood. That was never predictable. Look at Kyoshi Island, jealously guarding their neutrality for almost a century, Before that improbable contingent of warrior women had shown up at Full Moon Bay. At least the Fire Nation colonies enforced order on their half-blooded spawn, even if it was the enemy's order. But you can tell he's met a firebender, Quan went on, gesturing toward his left eye. Scarred, then. And still alive to tell about it? Interesting. How did he explain that to the Earth King? Not that he expected Amaya would send someone suicidal enough to tell Kuei about the war, but you could never be too sure. He didn't, Quan said wryly. Really? Long Feng arched an elegant brow. And? Usually his agents didn't wait to offer pertinent details. A wry delight danced in Quan's eyes. You might want to listen to this, sir. A wave of his hand opened the listening hole a little wider, just enough for both of them to hear.
Grr! Arg!
Bosco snarled. Really, I don't think... Kuei started. Sit down! An unfamiliar teenage voice snapped, obviously out of patience.
Grr!
That means you too!
Grr! Eep!
The next sounds were horrendously unpleasant and reminded Long Feng of an earthbender's attempt to unclog a storm drain gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Grr! Yeep!
Ew! Kuei's voice faded and cloth swished. You could have let him drop, the teenager grumbled. Drop his majesty. Dai Li Agent Shirong's voice held stifled laughter, which turned into a gasping cough.
Li, what is that thing?
Something squelched and rattled.
Earring, I think. Big one. Made to look like grapes.
Li got out, with a breathless tone of someone trying not to breathe through his nose.
Jade and amethyst, maybe.
Hey, we had a report on that going missing.
Well, Li gasped, you've got it. As soon as someone cleans it up, boils it, maybe.
Another ragged breath.
You idiot! This isn't food!
Grof?
So, that's it.
Li breathed shallowly. One sore gut, courtesy of eating rocks. He groaned. Anything else?
I'll send in some help, the agent said kindly. With a bathing robe, so you can get cleaned off?
Oh, thanks, the teenager said fervently, and gulped.
Hurry? On my way.
Long Feng closed the hole with a practiced clench of his fist, and traded a speaking glance with Quan.
Shirong seems to like him.
Given Shirong was one of their more skilled recruiters, when not attending to his other duties. That was interesting.
I'll put a rush on the report, sir.
Quan nodded.
Make sure he's not chased out of the bath too soon, Long Feng said dryly. From the sound of that, we'll all appreciate it.
Hot water.
Holding his eyes, Zuko submerged completely, feeling clean warmth sink all the way into his bones. This was the third change of water, and he was finally beginning to feel like he could face food again. The stone tub vibrated.
Don't drown in there.
Reluctantly, Zuko surfaced and looked into startled green eyes.
Oops.
In a place that claimed there was no war, letting others see his scars probably wasn't wise or conducive to survival.
Apprentice healer?
The Dai Li said neutrally, politely turning his back. Wrapping a towel around himself, Zuko tried to stay calm.
My mother didn't have time to teach me much before she was gone. Uncle couldn't help. And Master Amaya's the first waterbender I've met who didn't try to skewer me with ice.
Careful, you're a lousy liar. Stick to Amaya's story. Tell little bits and let him put them together.
Turning toward him, the agent studied him for a long, thoughtful minute.
I can see why.
Reaching out, a rock glove brushed the air near damp black hair.
Let that grow out enough for a top knot and you could pass.
Getting out of warm water, Zuko shivered. Don't even joke about that.
Wasn't joking. It's always good to have another boulder to throw.
He stepped back and nodded.
I'm Shirong. I think we may be seeing more of each other.
A deliberate pause. When you check on the bear again.
Not quite a threat, I think.
The clothes are yours. Call them recompense for the unpleasantness. A wry look. Someone will be here shortly with Healer Amaya's fee. They'll escort you out. A rumble of stone and he was gone.
Clothes?
On the table were his brown robes, freshly washed, but still too wet to wear. Beside them, just far enough away that they wouldn't get damp, were another set. Not fancy, a bit of embroidery at the collar and hems to add interest to durable fabric. About middle ring respectable, given what he'd seen around the Wen house.
Green. Arg.
Browns might be typically Earth Kingdom, but they weren't too far off the dark tones found in Fire Nation uniforms. It didn't seem right to be wearing green, even a dark green. So dark it was almost the color of the Daily uniforms. Okay, spooked now. Nerves yelping or not, he was not going to be caught half-dressed by whoever was coming.
Green it is.
Dressing quickly, Zuko wrapped the outer robe around him and paused, one hand pulling up a sleeve.
Something's not right.
Another careful rub of fabric between his fingers, and he was sure.
There's something in the hem of these.
No time to worry about it now. He wrapped and tied his sash just as the door opened. Amaya sat across from her friend and longtime patient, wishing she had Mushi's touch with tea. Her ginseng was bracing, but far from smooth.
I realize this must be a shock.
Finding out Avatar Kyoshi created the Dai Li, that was a shock,
the graying professor said gruffly. Having one of my brightest students disappear just before he was qualified to teach for an indiscreet comment on current politics, that was a shock. This is a disaster.
It's not Jinhai's fault, Amaya stated firmly.
Try telling that to Min,
Ting Chi Wen said tartly. He's seeing his chances of joining the most elite earthbenders go up in flames. Literally. The professor stared into his cup.
Where did I go wrong, Amaya? I tried to raise my children to be honest and upright, and to know how to use the minds the spirits gave them. And all Min wants to do is join those silencing us all.
His lip curled.
For an earthbender, perhaps he's the one with too much of his mother in him.
Amaya's eyes narrowed. Yet even as he said it, Ting Chi looked stricken.
Oh, Ma and Shu, I didn't mean...
I know,
the healer said levelly. Better this poison came out of his system now, with her, than in a fight with Mei Shang.
You've heard some of my stories of the Northern Water Tribe. Mei Shang's people don't have a monopoly on the lust for power. Spirits, if they did, there would be no Dai Li.
She softened her voice, using the matter-of-fact tone a fellow teacher would respond to.
But in a way, you are right as well. Min has always had a drive to be the best, and everyone knows the Dai Li are the best. And he's 16. His family has always been there for him. He doesn't realize his choices could truly threaten the people he cares about.
And this boy you want to teach Jinhai,
Ting Chi said pointedly. Isn't he 16?
Li is different, Amaya replied. He's learned some very hard lessons. He lost most of his family and almost died himself. That changes you. She smiled. 16, yes, and he does have a temper, but Lee is far more grown up than most people I've met.
Slam! Damp hair wild, dressed in green when she'd sent him off in brown, Lee stalked in with a bundle of damp clothing and a look that probably sent innocent passerby and no few would-be muggers running in terror. I want to forget today ever happened!
What was wrong with him? Amaya asked warily.
Note 6, Lee growled, handing over her scrolls and a bag of coin strings.
Oh dear. That particular note on the chi chart being to the effect that Bosco could and would try to eat anything that vaguely tasted like food. She still didn't know how he'd managed to swallow a soup ladle without anyone noticing, and she wasn't inclined to find out.
That was disgusting, Lee said faintly, gripping the bridge of his nose to hold back a stress headache.
A very practiced maneuver. She'd used it herself, often. He does it without even thinking. Does he ever relax?
I don't ever want to do that again, but they said someone was going to have me check on the bear, and...
Lee ground to a halt, taking in her startled guest.
You must be Professor Tingcha Wen.
I must, eh? The earthbender looked Lee up and down, as if studying an essay about to be splashed with red ink. A shadow of a smile passed over Lee's face.
Jinhai looks a lot like you.
Tingcha leaned back in his chair, a hint of interest in hazel eyes. That's not something I hear often.
You don't? Oh, because of the eyes and...
Lee ducked his head a little. It's the way he looks when he's trying to figure you out. You can see him thinking it over and... Sorry, I'm not real good with people. Better than you think, Amaya considered, pleasantly surprised. Tingcha had come in prepared for a fight, and all her efforts had barely brought him down to a simmer. Lee's simple words, a firebender affirming that Jinhai was Tingcha's son first, and everything else only after that. Charming people are a copper a dozen and worth even less. You and your uncle under the scheming... You're sincere. That's rare.
Damn the time.
People will be coming in for appointments soon, Amaya said, rising. The two of you should take this discussion into the garden.
Tingcha nodded, standing.
Lee hesitated. Master Amaya, that official matter? You don't mention plague, because you don't want people to panic if it's not true. Smart boy. Completely groundless, Amaya assured him, and couldn't help but smirk. Apparently, someone played a nasty practical joke on the Fire Nation forces occupying Omashu, one that let them evacuate the entire city. She crossed her arms, imagining the chagrin when that army found out they'd been had. I'd like to meet this Sokka of the Southern Water Tribe. He must be a wise, skilled warrior.
Lee made a choking noise. She eyed him.
Nothing, patience, I'll just... You've met him. Tingcha gave Lee a considering look. And if I know young men, you came off the worst.
He titched.
I know it's difficult to accept at your age, but there's nothing wrong with losing to a more experienced man.
He's 15!
Dead silence.
Lee kept his hands from clenching with effort. 15, and he's a moron with flashes of tactical brilliance. The moron part would have gotten him killed a long time ago, except for one small detail. He's traveling with the Avatar.
Her apprentice let out a breath, visibly forcing himself to calm down.
So you're right. I fought him, and I lost.
Lee bowed to her, jaw set.
Master, I need a little air.
Go, she said, troubled, keeping just enough of an eye on him to be sure he headed into the garden. and not back out on the street with unsuspecting passerby. Waited long enough for him to get out of earshot and whistled. Well, I certainly didn't expect that. Either he met Sokka traveling, or I was right, and he has been to the poles, both of them. Staring at the screens to the garden, the professor blinked and glanced at her. It explains a great deal of the prickliness. It's one thing to lose fairly. To lose because your opponent brought his own army along, that is quite another matter, especially to an honorable young man. His uncle swears Lee wasn't part of the war, Amaya protested, even if he was trained for it. My dear healer, we're all part of the war, Tinkcha said dryly. He may not have been a soldier, but if a Water Tribe boy ended up in the same town with your apprentice, your people have a long history of attacking enemies first. Amaya frowned, uncertain how to take that. So who do you believe was at fault? How should I know? I wasn't there, Tinkcha stated gruffly, and frowned. He had some very interesting turns of phrase, your Lee. He wasn't in the army. He certainly received a military education, though I imagine that's true of most firebenders these days. He stood there a long moment, thinking. I haven't made up my mind. Not yet. But I would like to speak with him, if you believe he'll calm down anytime soon. He's probably calm now. Amaya sighed. Or at least controlled. He's good at that. Too good, I think. Tinkcha gave her a dry smile. Well then, time to face the dragon. He's a very small dragon. Approaching quietly, Tinkcha took a moment to study the young man seated on the ground, trailing his fingers in Amaya's pond. Really, it was a wonder he'd managed to pass unnoticed this long. The fine, lean features, the pale skin, add a top knot, change green eyes and robe to gold and red, and he'd be any great name right out of the classical scrolls. A testament to how much people simply don't see, I imagine. 11, Lee said quietly. I counted them all. 3 times. He looked at the water, obviously seeing somewhere else. That's how many of our men we pulled out of the water after they were gone. The water that was ice on the deck. The water that wasn't overboard. He shook his head slowly. The spearmen Katara froze got lucky. Once we broke them out, they just needed some hot drinks. But by the time we got the ship out of the iceberg and turned around for the ones the Avatar swept overboard, it was so close. Too close. He swallowed dryly. I had to count. I didn't know all their names. That water is so cold. Cold and dark. The 2 most sure ways to kill a firebender. Decided, Tinkcha sat down. And that's how you met Sokka. I don't expect you to understand. Lee wouldn't look at him. The Fire Lord has declared the Avatar an enemy of the Fire Nation. We had to investigate. We didn't hurt anyone. He yanked his fingers out of the water, drops rising off as steam. We scared people. We threatened women and children. I'm not proud of that. The Avatar promised to go with us, and our commander promised not to hurt anyone. We left. A deep breath. And then Sokka and his waterbending sister decided to land a 10-ton flying monster on our ship, and everything went to hell. The professor kept silent, using decades of a life of reason and logic to work his way past his first emotional reactions. Shock wouldn't help anyone. Neither would anger at a young man who'd been doing, well, what quite a few of his countrymen apparently thought was the reasonable thing to do. I understand that the Fire Nation sets a high value on honor, Tinkcha said levelly. If your commander did offer a prisoner reasonable parole and he broke it, even with outside instigation, yes, from what I've read of your history, that's a grave insult indeed. He regarded the young man carefully. What truly surprises me is that you're more upset about the casualties. Lee shrugged, as if it didn't matter what he thought. Sokka's dangerous. He turns things loose and he doesn't think. He gets out of things because he's lucky, not because he's trained. His sister's a master waterbender and his friend is the Avatar, so he's got a lot of luck on his side. And spirits. Closing his eyes, Lee hugged his knees to his chest. Ask Master Amaya about the North Pole. I don't want to think about it. A century of war your nation has unleashed on mine. His students might joke that he still lived in the reign of the 46th Earth King, but Tingcha was perfectly aware of the war. There just wasn't anything he could do about it, save help his people remember their past, so they would have hope of a better future. I should feel pleased at the Avatar's retribution. But this wasn't the Fire Lord. This was a scarred young man who'd seen as much horror as any veteran on the wall, who'd fled the war just as Mei Shang had. Stop stalling, Tingcha told himself firmly. You already know what you decided. My wife says you want to teach Jinhai to put fires out. It's the first thing my mother taught me. Lee uncurled to look at him, green eyes bright and serious as fire. My sister, there were a lot of benders around, and you don't want two benders flaring the same flame. It's harder than starting a fire, but it makes things safer, less scary. Lee's glance slid sideways, returned determined. He'll always be yours first, you know. Uncle says other nations aren't bound by loyalty the same way we are. Not in their spirits. Jinhai's a firebender, and you are his parents, and he loves you. No matter what I teach him, he'll always look to you first. Always. Tingcha tried not to start, recognizing the archaic phrase from one of the old letters he'd recently found in the university's collection. Who do you look to, Dragonborn? I am cast upon the waves, for my clan is fled, and our stronghold ashes. Who would you look to, Dragonborn? I seek a great name, one worthy of my blade and fire. Or so the story goes, the letter went on, which should have clued in the hapless Oni that all he was going to get was coin hire, not loyalty. And when the clan regrouped, he'd be Ogre Flambe. But that's folktales for you. And now you're chasing folktales in Ba Sing Se. Father, please be careful. I know you promised your friend, but your clan needs you too. A few days' research hadn't been enough to track down what Lady Cotone's father had promised. But given a letter written only decades ago had been tucked into scrolls on Avatar Yang Chun, the last air nomad Avatar? Well, perhaps it's better not to mention that Avatar Aang visited the university only a few days ago. Body or pride, sometimes the best medicine is time. I'll speak to Amaya about a good time for you to come, Tingcha said bluntly. Can you be there? Given that he'd been about to put his foot down on just that, the professor arched a foreboding brow. Fire and earth aren't as different as people think, Lee explained. The stances aren't the same, and we spend a lot more time in the air, but if you watch, you'll see things in common. He let out a breath and nodded, determined. So if something goes wrong and the Dai Li catch me, you'll know where to start to help Jinhai teach himself. Tingcha scowled at him. You will not get caught. Not if you're careful. I'm careful, Lee said dryly. Things just happen around me, no matter what I plan. So it's better if you know. Besides, Madame Wen might want to brush up on her forms too. My wife, Tingcha said with deliberate calm, is not a firebender.
I know that, Lee said, obviously puzzled.
So why would you think she knows any firebending forms?
Ting Cho went on, eyeing him as he would any student who hadn't done the assigned reading.
Because everyone does? Lee said, exasperated.
The ones for self-defense? The young man looked suddenly thoughtful. Unless she's like Quojin, mostly raised here.
No, you really do teach your women to fight?
Ting Cho shook his head. Years of study suddenly tilted awry.
I've read references to women warriors, but I thought they were, well, myths. Like Wan Shi Tong or the Blue Spirit.
No one's ever seen one.
Oh, that's going to change,
Lee muttered, gave him an incredulous look. Kyoshi Island teaches women to fight.
That may be true, the professor admitted, but everyone knows they're a few stones short of a mountain.
Lee stared at him, as if he'd suggested walking into the midst of a pit of viper hornets.
Suyin and Jia don't know how to fight?
Jia's a skilled earthbender, Ting Cha said impatiently. I'm certain that if she had the misfortune to deal with a rude young man, she could lock him up neatly until the guard arrived. Lee buried his face in his hands.
Young man, what is the matter with you?
Lee shook his head and looked up.
And what about Suyin? Or what if it's not a rude young man Jia has to deal with? What if it's the Dai Li?
Ting Cha gaped at him, aghast.
You can't fight the Dai Li.
Never give up without a fight. Fiery green bored into him. If you want me to train Jinhai, then I train Suyin too.
She's not even a bender.
Some of the most dangerous people in the world aren't benders, Lee said impatiently. Master Pian Dao defeated 100 soldiers single-handed.
Who?
Lee started to speak and stopped. Just someone I heard of years ago. He folded his hands, straightening, equal to equal. Please consider it. We can't always be there to protect the people we care about. The best thing we can do is teach them to protect themselves.
I'll talk to healer Amaya, Ting Cha said finally. It's been very interesting to speak with you.
He inclined his head, and Lee bowed. The very picture of a polite young man, the professor thought, leaving. But when you truly care about something, when that inner fire flares, only a blind man can't see what you are.
What is a great name's son doing in Ba Sing Se?